And the vortex opens up and we come out of the Speed Force. Hey everybody, Dave here, and it is time for Flash Time on Out of the Speed Force. How you doing tonight, Greg?
I'm very distrustful of white noise machines now.
I bet.
I've been very paranoid about them ever since I watched this week's episode.
Yeah. White noise machines, they are not things to be trifled with in the case of Cisco there.
Yeah, no, it's, can't trust machines. They're always working to kind of mess with you.
Oh, definitely. But we don't have to worry about white noise machines in this episode. We are talking about Elongated Man this week.
Wait, we're not talking about Flash, is it like Flash, Bang, Bang? I think that's the title of the episode.
Kiss, Kiss, Breach, Breach? No, that's the one Josh and I did.
Crap, I'm on the wrong week. I'm just kidding. I have a license to podcast.
Alrighty then. Whew. I was wondering.
little continuity fun there. sorry to scare you. Yeah, I am ready to record a license to Elongate.
Excellent. Okay. Since we're talking about Elongated Man and whatnot, why don't we get the description out of the way? You want to take it this time?
Absolutely. Okay, the episode description for License to Elongate. Barry turns his attention to prepping Elongated Man for life after Crisis without the Flash, but Ralph ultimately teaches Barry a lesson. Meanwhile, Cecile faces her own moment of self-discovery while helping a recuperated Chester P. Runk reclaim his identity.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was wondering when he would finally show up again.
Yep, he came out like really early in the episode. It was kind of hilarious. All of a sudden you got Chester P. Runk running around Star Labs fully integrated, and it's Killer Frost's week to watch him.
Right, the very worst person to greet you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the warmest welcome you can get.
No, not at all. Thankfully, she is a bit mellowed after a couple of seasons. So it's not like a season 3 or a season 4 Killer Frost.
True enough. But yeah, good old Chester P. Runk, finally out of the whatever they call that machine. I've forgotten. But he's baked, he's good. And it didn't take 6 weeks, I don't think. We're on episode what?
I think
one,
this was
two,
episode six.
Three, four, five. Oh, maybe. I guess it did take 6 weeks. I guess miscounted. Oh, wait. It would have been 7 weeks if it wouldn't have been for the fact that they skipped a week. That's right. We didn't have an episode last week.
Right. Which I didn't realize that until like the day I'm going to record. I was busy like cramming Arrow in, and then I was looking for the new Flash, and I was like, wait a minute, it's not here.
Yeah, that's because it didn't happen until this week. So why we got the James Bond ripoff, which, honestly, to get from the Breacher problem to the Last Temptation of Barry Allen, which, to my knowledge, is going to be the end of the Bloodwork story arc, it's going to be interesting. But this was a fun episode to put there, though.
Yeah, no, I can, and with the way that they did this, I kind of think they probably shot this while they shot the last episode. Considering, you could have Cisco be busy doing his own thing with the Star Lab sets while you have mm-hmm. the other characters busy over here.
Yeah. They probably did shoot it that way, because as we know, because we've all watched the episode by this point, Bloodwork gives his appearance at the very end of the episode, just after a conversation between Ralph and Cecile, which we'll probably touch on a little bit later.
You mean Iris?
Oh, yes, that's right. It was Iris, not Cecile. You're right.
That was and it started off as a little bit of an awkward conversation. But once she realized why Ralph wanted to talk to her, it kind of fixed things up.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't there. Well, we might as well just talk about that now since I brought it up. It was one of the guys in the picture, if I'm not mistaken, that she was interested. They were interested in.
Yes. I'm trying to remember what he was from or why that was of interest.
Yeah, I was going to rewatch the episode before we started recording tonight, and I didn't end up with time.
Yeah, and this time, normally I like to watch episodes while I'm not doing anything, so I can just type notes, but I actually don't. I only have one note for the whole thing. I don't want to forget the point that I wanted to make, although it's not a... It's more of pointing out something of a call-out. But, yeah, no, I'm trying to think of what her storylines are this week that would have... I know she was helping Ralph out with finding Sue. But besides that, I'm just blanking on it.
Well, Iris didn't actually make an appearance until that particular conversation right at the end of the episode. So... That was her only scene in
it. So I wonder what she's busy recording. Or if she's just... Because I imagine that they're having her do something.
Well, likely. I mean, you got to figure that, just like the other crossovers where we started getting into multiple characters from all the shows, they're going to be split off from their regular cast members. I mean, because in Crisis on Earth X, it was Iris and Felicity for a good part of it.
Right.
So you got to think she's probably off with one of the other characters somewhere at some point during this mini series they're going to be doing coming up like really, really soon. And yeah, so she was probably off shooting some of that.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm sure it's probably something crazy.
Well, we'll just get off that then because neither of us seem to be able to remember what that photo was all about. Damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
No, I know. I'm kicking myself a bit now. Overall, what did you think of the episode as we get into it?
Well, I thought it was a decent episode. I mean, it was a fun episode. I mean, when Barry and Ralph go off on their own little adventures, it's always fun. I mean, last season they had the gold-faced incident, and that was priceless because Barry just couldn't fit into the criminal element. And what do? They go right to another city into the criminal element, where... Barry is just out of touch.
Yeah, no, it's funny too because in these type of stories, their roles reverse where Ralph's normally the comedic character, although he's definitely rounded his character out a lot over the past two seasons. But it's Barry that ends up becoming the comedic sidekick for their adventure together.
Yep, and. I mean, they play very well together, reversing the roles. I mean, you can't just knock it. It's a great, fun episode. And it turned out to be exactly what I thought it was going to be, just a fun filler. I mean, how could it not be? You got a Bond villains and Bond girls and Ralph being James Bond. It's just hilarious.
No, definitely. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, actually, I think I enjoyed this episode more than I did the Goldface episode last season. I feel like, I don't know, like it, you know, it was a fun little spy adventure with a, you know, great Bondian villain that, you know, with the accent, you know, the, you know, big evil secret weapon. Just a really cool. Real fun stuff, and like you said, we had Ultraviolet as like the sexy side villain, and the one note that I have to call out is when they finally did the fight scene, and I think it was Barry that called her said that she was from Mortal Kombat.
Yes, yeah, and, it was.
Yes, and that was the one note that I put down because, yeah, she definitely reminds me of Melina from Mortal Kombat. Which she, if you're not familiar with her, she's the one with the size.
Mm-hmm.
She just has, because she has kind of like a Lena has kind of like a creepy kind of like sharp pointy mouth with teeth, you know, evil teeth.
Gotcha.
And the mask just kind of reminded me of how Melina's face looks without her like ninja mask.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, they actually got the laser from James Bond movies. I mean, at the very least, they built one that looked very close to the ones types you see in the James Bond movies from the like 70s and 80s, back when Sean Connery was Bond.
Yeah. No, and that was great. And especially, you know, when they, you know, hit it and it knocks over for a moment and starts going crazy. Yeah, no, that was enjoyable. Awesome prop.
Yeah, just filled out that whole arc where they're going looking for Sudhir Bond and they find a weapons deal going down.
The Ring of Fire.
And all I could think of at that time when he said the ring, when they called it the Ring of Fire, was Johnny Cash and his song Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and that's exactly. And then, go ahead.
Which if Anchor hadn't been bought by Spotify, I would insert Ring of Fire here, but now I'm worried about copyright infringement problems.
Yeah, just pause the episode and listen to Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm. I fell in. Okay, that's enough.
If we were on YouTube, that would probably be enough to get us demonetized.
Probably.
No, and, you know, the interesting thing about this episode is, you know, because they're setting Ralph up to be Barry's replacement as the hero of Team Flash, or Team Elongated, as, you know, it would have probably become.
I don't like that one.
And what's that?
I don't think Team Elongated like that has one. That ring. And Team Elongated, no. That has a 70s porno ring to it.
Oh, yeah. Team Stretch.
That's just as bad.
Oh. Team Ralph.
Yeah, okay. Team Dibney.
Yeah, Team Dibney. Yeah, no, I like that better. But, you know, they're really going out of their way to set Sue up.
They are. I mean, there's something going on there. I mean, she disappeared from this club where the deal's going down. The designer dress thing is what tipped him off to go back there. And, of course, Barry flashes through and doesn't find any sign of her or whatnot. But I think if anything is going to over-arc over the whole season, it's the Sue Dearborn thing.
No, definitely. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see her at the end of the season. Unless they do some sort of twist thing where it's part of like the, even though it probably messed with Crisis a bit, kind of like reveal her for like the mid-season finale. But they're definitely doing something. I don't know if it's because they want to spin Ralph and Sue off, which, you know, I haven't heard anything about that. But, you know, based on Ralph's you know, performances over the last like two seasons, I would watch that show.
Agreed. I'd watch an Elongated Man show as long as it had a better title than Elongated Man.
Yeah, I definitely hope he doesn't end up in a team situation like ending up on Legends of Tomorrow, which I like all the characters on that, but I have to say I think you know, I know you're not as much of a fan of Brandon Routh as Ray Palmer, but I think he could have done something on his own, but I definitely feel like of all the side characters that they've introduced, Ralph is good enough that I think he could carry a show on his own because he has, you know, the charisma. He can be serious and really his background kind of lends itself to, you know, make it more of like a superhero mystery show where Ralph solves crimes with him and with Sue. And I think that would separate it from really everything else on the show, from the other shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's basically a non-brooding Batman.
Yeah, he's the Batman who laughs.
Well, there is a Batman who laughs, but we don't...
I know there is. That's why I made the joke, because he's not even close.
if you haven't seen the Batman who laughs, just Google that and wish that you didn't. Because, they definitely made him creepy.
Oh, yeah. Batman who laughs is not for the young.
No.
But
what I was going to say, too, is if they're not going to split them up, spin off Ralph onto a different show, I would say that maybe with what they're doing with, Iris and Camille and Allegra is, throw Sue on there and have kind of their own, not their own type of show, but basically their own kind of subplot where they're running, the paper and doing their own type of investigation or something.
Ralphie's Angels. Oh, that would be horrible, but funny, I'm sure.
Yeah. But that's the only other thing that I can think of that they're building up towards. Because they're also definitely building up Iris's paper. And
yeah, definitely.
With this episode too, we got to see a lot of Allegra. Embracing her powers and actually kind of having her own little storyline with Nash.
Yeah, stepping out of her cousin. Ultraviolet's her cousin, right? I am remembering that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, stepping out of her cousin's shadow, becoming her own type of meta, helping out Nash, looking for the Eternium in the wall, which is about the only crisis setup we actually got in this episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And it was, I wasn't as into it as the other ones, but, it's more of, it was nice to see a bit more. Just because, the spy stuff was so much fun. But it was interesting to see a bit more of Allegra's character and, having her doing more than just kind of be, in the background. And definitely it seems like Nash knows, a version of her.
Yeah, definitely got that at the end of their arc. I mean, it's like he's helping her out because maybe she's somebody important to him that he lost when the anti-monitor destroyed his world.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. There's definitely going to be a longer story arc, I think, with these two, as long as, Nash is going to be around for the whole season.
Right. Right, because he could disappear at the end of Crisis, for all we know, because right now his arc is centered right around finding the monitor.
Right.
And what else? What else?
We had the Chester P. Runk story.
Right. He's who was actually talking with Cecile the whole time.
Yes.
That's right. Because Cecile took it upon herself to get him undeaded because everybody apparently thought Chester died.
Yeah, talk about a bummer.
No kidding. Wake up. You're finally back to normal. Hanging out at Star Labs and go log onto the computer and find out you're dead. At least as far as the world's concerned. That couldn't have been fun at all.
No. By the way, I couldn't remember. Was Jitters destroyed in the first episode?
That's how they played it off. I mean, because he said he couldn't go to Jitters to get his coffee card punched so he could ask out Natalie. So, yeah, that's how they played it. Jitters are destroyed, and they have a new Jitters, and she works for the delivery service, delivering coffees.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember. Because when they said that, he couldn't go to Jitters, because it was wasn't there. I was like, wait, did I forget something? Which apparently I did.
Well, I didn't actually think Jitters was completely destroyed by the wormhole, but apparently there was enough damage that they had to shut it down and move locations. But yeah. I guess when you're being sucked into a black hole, that's significant damage.
Yeah, you kind of don't come back from that.
Not easily, that's for sure.
Unless you're Barry.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was just, woo, in, out.
Yeah, well, and technically, was it Chester? No, it was, it was just Barry.
Yeah, he went into the black hole to get the other half of Chester's conscious and made us stop off to pick up the jacket from Nora.
There we go.
That's what it was.
I know it was just only a couple episodes ago, but for some reason I'm just I'll have to re-listen to that episode. You know, like I'm glad to see that they're keeping Chester around. I'm not sure if he will have meta abilities like with the black hole stuff at all. Like if he can maybe do like smaller versions of that. But I'm glad that they're adding more to the Star Labs team.
Yes and no. I mean, I'm starting to come around to the way of thinking that they're starting to get too many cast members. I mean,
well,
there's just
I'm
a lot of them.
Of, well, the way that I could see it is, have you ever seen the show Bones?
Yeah, I've watched most of it.
Well, you know how they had the rotating intern for like from season 4 on.
Yeah.
I was thinking that you could maybe like, because I wouldn't want everybody there at Star Labs, because yeah, it would get kind of. Then you run into the problem of everybody has to do something, otherwise there are ways. But you know, I would be fine, you know, considering that Star Labs used to be like a, you know, a full fledged lab with like people doing stuff. You know, I would be okay with like. You know, there being, like, other members of the team that don't necessarily help out with every adventure of the Flash, but are they're at the lab kind of working on things, you know, working on new Star Labs technology. You know, maybe, you know, headed up by Sisko to keep him doing stuff. And then with each episode that one of their skills would kind of be needed, you know, they can just call upon them, kind of like one of the from Bones.
You know what? That would actually work. That would solve the problem. Then you could have the core team Flash, and as you say, whenever like Chester's particular skills are required, he could pop in and say, hey, yeah, I can do this, or whatever it was. You need a black hole? No problem. Womp. There you go.
Yeah, and so that way, you know, can get more characters, and at the same time, you don't have to, you know, get choked up by them. Because, yeah, no, you don't want to have, like, you know, too many people just standing around.
Right, and that's why Allegra works as the intern for the, I was going to say Planet, but that's Clark's paper. That's the wrong
Chronicle?
Paper. The Chronicle, the Central City Chronicle, or is it Central City Citizen?
There we go.
Anyway, that paper that Iris runs.
Yes.
Well...
So yeah, no, it was so that was a nice little storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, like Cecile, you know, she's a fine character. It's just none of her storyline stuff really, you know, gets, you know, me interested, but you know, she's a fine side character, and you know, everything that happened in this episode was okay, you know, with that.
Yeah, it's...
I understand her function on the team, and I do like the idea of metahuman lawyer that's, you know, DA that's out there to help the good metahumans out.
Right, because everybody needs a lawyer, and especially metahumans could use a lawyer that actually has the same abilities as them, like a metahuman lawyer. That makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And plus, this arc did help her out come to terms with who she is and what she's doing, because her emotions actually blocked her powers a little bit. This episode, because she was sensing the exact opposite of what was going on.
Yeah, and that was a fun little twist.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we also had the last thing, the the whole thing with the press conference where the Flash gives Elongated Man his own symbol for finally giving him the keys to the city, as it were, toting him as a new protector for Central City alongside him for the moment.
Yeah. You know, doing that and then giving Barry Allen, you know, his own credit at the end of the episode, it really makes me wonder if we are going to have Barry missing for most of the next half of the season. Because they're doing a lot of setup, and for them to just do that without, you know, really, like, capitalizing on that, I don't know, I think we're kind of running into a situation where it'll be like Arrow season 3, where there were there was like a couple of episodes where like Black Canary and Red Arrow were on their own against a villain, while Barry Ollie was, you know, recovering from being dead.
That could be something we're running into. It could also be that they're just doing a whole ton of setup for a big old disappointment, and in the fact that Barry doesn't actually disappear at all. You never know. This crisis coming up is going to be 5 parts, so anything could happen.
Well, I could see something happen where, like, you know, Barry gets lost in the timeline, and actually this is where Godspeed comes in. And he's kind of pursuing God's, like, they're having, like, different fights, and you can have it. This isn't anything that, like, I'm sure they're doing or not, but this is just me as, like, a writer. But, like, you know, maybe, like, jumping through time at different points in time at Central City, like, whether it's in the past or the future, and Barry's just trying to jump back home.
It could be. Could be. That would work for what we expect from the Flash.
Or maybe he's having a difficult time, or, you know, he's on different Earths and is trying to jump back to, like, our Earth.
Could be. Could be. That could be a good way to let us know which Earths actually survived the crisis.
Yeah, and you could maybe have him each episode teaming up with a new Wells, or one that we've seen before. This is all just, you know, me
pure speculation,
throwing stuff out there. Yeah. Because, like I said, I have no idea what they're doing, but it just, like I said, I just feel like they're doing too much setup for them to not pull the trigger on it. You know, it would be a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. He's probably going to disappear for a few episodes from the main continuity and come back before the end of the season, into the main Earth.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's just my best guess. And by the way, did we want to talk a little bit about kind of like what I talked about with you on through DMs about Wells?
Sure, why not? Refresh my memory, because I don't remember.
No, because during the last episode, you know, with you and Jacob, you were talking about, what's his name? The character that Kavanaugh is going to be playing. I'm blanking on his name.
Pariah.
There we go. Yeah. Cause we know Pariah is, you know, kind of showing up, at, you know, right at an Earth right before, you know, it gets destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And, we know that Earth 2 has been destroyed, you know, and granted there's been others, but we know for certain Earth 2 has been destroyed, with the only survivor that we know of being the Laurel from Earth 2.
Right.
But we haven't seen what happens to Wells, to Harry, from season 2 and 4, and also his daughter.
Right, we don't know what's happened to Jesse Quick either.
Right. And this isn't the type of show that will just kill off a character without you seeing them. And actually, I would say, too, I think it's kind of disappointing from last episode to bring that up really quick. Given Gypsy's abilities, I'm disappointed that she didn't accidentally say, like, get caught in a different multiverse as it was being destroyed and you know, get rid of her that way and kind of, you know, further set things up for Crisis that way.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been a much more,
that would have been a more satisfying way to get rid of that character. Yeah.
Which also I will say, I think I don't necessarily believe that she's dead for good.
It seemed pretty cut and dry to me, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
I'm just thinking comic book wise. And plus, too, we've seen characters that have died for good come back. But with the way that it was done, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow, like, I don't know, maybe she was using her powers and just as, like, you know, she was hit with that ray and just kind of, like, her molecules kind of, like, scattered out or something. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just kind of guessing. But I don't know. I feel like with that, I'm not 100% certain that she's dead. She's definitely gone for now, but I wouldn't put it past the show for her to show up eventually again.
You never know. Anything's possible with the Flash.
Yeah. But Pariah, back to Pariah. My theory is that we know that, you know, Kavanaugh's playing Pariah. I'm wondering if Harry from Earth 2 is Pariah.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did bring that theory up, and that's a good one to discuss. I mean, we don't know what happened to him. Maybe he was recruited by the Monitor, just as many Arrowverse characters have been at this point. Maybe he will find out Earth 2 has been destroyed and become Pariah that way. Because the Wells that Kavanaugh's playing right now just does not have that Pariah feel to him.
No, not at all. Pariah is much more of like a sadder character.
Yeah, and while this episode did hint at some sadness in Nashwell's past, he's just not doing it for me as enough background to say, yep, he's Pariah. He's still a great character, mind you, but right now I'd have to say another Wells' doppelganger is Pariah at this point.
That's my guess, too. I'm definitely on the side of this Pariah, Nash is not Pariah. So we have to guess whether this is going to be a Wells that we've seen before, or this is going to be a new Wells.
Yeah.
So my money right now is that it's the Earth 2. Because, you know, they're not going to just kill off characters that we've seen in many episodes where they've, you know, devoted storylines to just die off camera.
No, they definitely won't do that.
Even if they somehow bring Earth 2 back, they would have at least shown something happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, they could have even in that particular episode of Arrow where Earth 2 was destroyed, instead of doing the end credit scene that they did, the little blurb that happens just before the show's over, they could have, if they were definitely going to kill Harry and Jesse, instead of, you know, the end that they did, they could have shot off and back to Earth 2, like as a quick flashback, and showed Harry and Jesse either getting off the Earth or getting vaporized. And if they're going to kill them off, that would have been the thing to do, is show them actually vaporize in the antimatter.
Right. But I think Jesse's in the Speed Force.
Very possible.
I think she disappeared into the Speed Force. And I don't know if she couldn't take Wells or if Wells was plucked or something. But I definitely don't think he's dead. And like I said, my theory is that he's Pariah and Jesse is in the Speed Force. And maybe, you know, Barry will encounter her the next time he ends up in the Speed Force, which I'm thinking at some point he will end up in the Speed Force going into Crisis.
Yeah, whether it happens during the Last Temptation of Barry Allen, the two-parter that's coming up after this episode we're talking about, starting tomorrow, listening time, and or it could be during Crisis somehow that he ends up in the Speed Force and finds Jesse. You never know. Or they could have actually just killed the characters off screen, which will piss everybody off.
Yeah, no, you don't want to, you know, Akbar them.
It's a trap.
Nobody, right? No, you know, you want to give them a satisfying death if you're going to kill them off, and not just blow them out.
Yeah. Well, I have nothing and I know else to go on, and I know that you got your point across, that you wanted to, your one note that you wanted to get on. Do you have anything else you can think of? Overall, I think it was just a good episode, and I think we've talked it out.
If Barry stays out of the main part of the show for a while, do we think that Ralph is, I know we were talking about that, he's good enough that he can, you know, hold his own on a show. But do you think he will do a good job kind of acting in place of the Flash while Barry's gone and taking care of Central City?
I don't know. It really just depends on if he survived the end of this episode, now that I think about it, because we touched on it briefly, but we didn't actually talk about it. The very end, right, where Bloodwork comes in. Bloodwork comes shows up on the roof where Ralph was talking to Iris, said he enjoyed the press conference, and then rushes them both off of the roof, and that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, and you know, if there's anybody that can do a pretty good job with fighting Bloodwork and his powers, I actually think Ralph could actually do a pretty good job, or at least hold his own against Bloodwork. Because, you know, I have to think, you know, we know that there's some things that affects Ralph, like the ultraviolet stuff. But I don't necessarily think that his Ramsey's blood abilities would necessarily harm Ralph. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how things play out in that regard. I know that the fall wouldn't definitely kill him. I mean, he's elongated, man. He's basically rubber. So he'd survive the fall. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. It's the fight that I'm wondering about, because we don't get to see any of it probably until tomorrow's episode.
Right.
But I think that pretty much covers everything.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
All right. Well, everybody, if you're all willing, and even if you're not, we're going to end it here anyway. And if you want to follow us throughout the week, you can always find me on Twitter at DrAllen201. The show, of course, is at Barry V. Eobard. You can email us at reverseflashtime@gmail.com. Website link will be in the description below, because it's just too long to say. Greg, how about you? Where can they find you?
And you can find me on Twitter at GregZor. It's GREGZORZ.
All right. And we will see you next week, everybody, when we talk about The Last Temptation of Barry Allen, Part 1. Watch it tomorrow.
Chat with you later.
Listening to Out of the Speed Force, a Maple City Media production.